Chapter 4. The Ever-Turning Wheel of Menzo Barenzon. Dineen was in a foul mood when he exited the Lizard Corral and the lower level of House de Werden, making his way to a spot below the chapel balcony. His mission, the last before the battle, had been successful. He had identified and magically marked the sentient shrieker mushrooms along the House de Vere border wall, and had gone to see the Faceless One, relaying to him the timing of the assassination of the Devere wizard, Alton, who remained at Sorcerer. With that success, Dineen had returned to the stable in fine spirits, excited for the battle, which would prove the most consequential of his life thus far, he was sure. But inside, the whispers among the lizard handlers had confirmed the second boy's concerns. Matron Malice, they now knew, would deliver a son. The son of Zacnaphane, the third son of Dermon and Ashesbirnon, and thus a child to be sacrificed to Lolth. Malice would resent that, Dineen knew. After his talk with Breeza, he could not ignore that his mother would greatly lament this precious sacrifice, and he knew her well enough to understand that her resentment would linger for years, decades, and it would be aimed primarily at the two persons responsible for the sacrifice of Zacnaphane's son, Dineen and Nalphane. Yet other fears as well, suspecting that Breeza had not come to him unbidden by their mother. And if that were the case, she had likely gone too to Nalphane. Yes, it made sense to him, and it worried him. If Matron Malice lost Nalphane this night, Zacnaphane's son, almost certainly a warrior, would grow in the shadow of elder boy Dineen, also a warrior. But if it was Dineen who died this night, then the elder boy would be a wizard, and no rival to the growing second boy warrior. There were three possibilities here, none of them ideal, but one, Dineen believed, better than the other two. He tapped his house emblem and floated from the floor, rising up easily in the shadows of the exposed portions of the compound, then stepping over lightly onto the balcony, releasing the magic. "Where have you been?" he heard, even as he touched down upon the stone. He turned to see Virna approaching. "You have been gone too long." "Be at ease, sister, I had much to do." "I know what you had to do," an obviously nervous Virna retorted. "Do you? Have you ever marked Shrieker, sister? Not so easy a task. One step too close and they sound their alarms, and yet you have to be quite close to put the silenced hand crossbow quarrels into their thick stems. And if you miss, guess what happens?" "I need not your sarcasm, brother, not now." Dineen started to reply sharply, but he leaned back instead and took full measure of Virna, allowing her the benefit of his doubt. She was his favorite sister, after all, the closest in age to him, and one who did not flaunt her station above him as a woman, a noble daughter, and a priestess of Lolth. "What do you know, Virna? Pray tell me." "It will be a boy," Virna admitted. "The whispers of that have already reached the stables," Dineen agreed. Virna sighed heavily. "Does it bother you because it is your brother, both sire and dam?" Dineen asked, trying not to taunt Virna here. "Or is it because of the thought of what must be done, perhaps what Matron Malice will make you do personally?" "High Priestess Breeza will wield the dagger," Virna said quickly, but the speed of her words could not hide her discomfort. Dineen did not chuckle but couldn't suppress his grin. He had always known Virna's heart to be softer than that of the typical drow woman, and much more so than the typical drow priestess, surely. Breeza's remarks to him concerning Virna came flashing to mind. Yes, why would the powerful and vicious Breeza ever fear her station as Matron Malice's heir to this one, the weak Virna? Would compassionate Virna even have the temperament to be nominated as a high priestess? "Go take your place," he told Virna, reminding himself that he had to be kind to her at this time. She was the one assigned to send him magical messages in the fight, after all. "I must report and assemble my battle group." Virna took another breath, gave a slight nod, and scurried away through the archway and down the house's main central corridor. Dineen gave her a few moments, then started in boldly down the corridor to the ornate brass door marking the antechamber to the house chapel, the audience hall of the high priestesses. And this night, the war room of House de Werden. Soon after he had delivered his assurances to Matron Malice and the others, Dineen led his column out of House de Werden, 60 drow soldiers and 100 goblin-kin fighters marching close behind him. With the clumsy humanoids waiting back a safe distance, the drow battle group crept into position. Other battle groups soon arrived, the silent hand codes working up and down the line as the commoner priestesses took their places and found their marks, the marks Deneen had put on the alarm shriekers. The moments slipped by, seeming like hours to anxious Deneen. The priestesses on the battlefield finally moved, stepping forth to cast their spells of protection, beginning all at once, as if they had received confirmation that the time was upon them. The magical waves rolled along the Doerden line, bolstering, protecting, silencing. Deneen rushed out and produced a sheet of shiny metal and a small pinprick magical light source, quite literally a tiny Dwyomer cast at the inner base of a hollowed pin. He flashed the object 3 times to signal his brother and Risen, the house patron, and their respective brigades. Then Deneen spun it up into the air, and his own brigade took the signal and stepped forward, hand crossbows firing at the marked shrieker mushrooms, each throwing a dart enchanted by the priestesses with magical silence. On came the drow warriors, quietly to the wall and over the wall. Deneen at the front. He was the first to encounter a Devere sentry. The man drew a sword and stabbed at Deneen as he came over the wall, but the blade never got close to the fine warrior, Deneen's superior sword coming up fast to parry, then riposte, a stab that had the Devere warrior half turning to dodge. In rushed Deneen between the man and the parapet. Deneen rolled about as he went, turning his back to the man but sending his left-hand blade around and out to block the Devere's backhand as he too pivoted. In came the Devere's second blade for the crouching Deneen, almost reaching its target. Almost. But Deneen used a blunt tactic instead, bracing himself against the stone parapet and double-kicking out, a move unexpected from a nimble drow swordsman. A move taught to a select few by Zacnaphane, who was without peer among the drow and rather unorthodox fighting styles. Both feet landed, and the Devere warrior flew from the ledge, tumbling the 20 feet to the floor of the house courtyard. Deneen went down right behind, dropping fast and enacting his levitation only at the very end to ease his landing. The other drow, rolling to absorb some of the damage, came up shakily and gingerly on a wounded leg. Without his balance, Deneen overwhelmed him, hitting him with a series of sudden and brutal stabs and slashes. The Devere warrior fought well. He blocked almost half of Deneen's strikes. As he fell over dead, several sudden flashes to the left turned Deneen about in time to see the main gate of House Devere swinging inward, smoking and sparking from a series of Doerden lightning bolts, and then bursting into its own explosions, fireballs, lightning bolts, and even an ice storm, as the Devere glyphs and wards went off. The magical barrage amused Deneen, because none of it made a sound. The Doerden priestesses had performed well. Other Doerden soldiers came down beside the noble second boy. Goblins and bugbears rushed in through the breached gate and kept charging across the compound. So fast and so silently had the initial assault come that the main Devere forces hadn't even yet risen to oppose the attack. That was critical, Deneen knew, as his confidence in their success began to soar, for House Devere could put many more fighters on the field than House Doerden could muster, and this was Devere's home turf with their noble priestesses and matron on the grounds. Deneen flashed for his forces to keep pressing fast and hard. Do not let them breathe. Do not let them form any defense. His fingers signed to those around him, who quickly echoed the message along the line. Still, Deneen knew it would not be enough, not nearly. Come on, he mouthed futilely at the silence. Again, heartbeats seemed like hours. Finally, wonderfully, he felt the reverberations of some powerful magic, so powerful that it made the hair on his arms and neck stand up and left his skin tingling in its passing wake. He glanced down the line to his fellow warriors, who looked confused, then to the one priestess who had come over the wall with the battle group, who was shaking so hard, her mouth hanging open, tears flowing from her eyes, that Deneen thought she might simply fall over. Tears of divine joy, Deneen understood. This was the birth magic his sisters had been whispering about, he realized, though he really didn't even know what that might mean. Somehow, it seemed, vicious malice had utilized and transformed the pain and emotions of childbirth into the weight of the ritualistic spell conjured about that unholy table of Lolth, The warrior looked to the compound before him, almost expecting it to crumble to dust. Yet nothing seemed to happen, at least not to him. He had to trust. So he called upon his warriors. They charged the main houses, bugbears and goblins for the main doors, able dark elves levitating to balconies and dropping ropes for their companions. The doors burst open, and Devere defenders, mostly goblinkin, charged out to meet the invaders, and in an eye blink, the front of the Doerden line became a tumble of swords and axes, falling bodies and falling limbs. Dinan grinned as he watched the battle, for the defenders seemed sluggish indeed, their every effort being more than matched by the attackers. Nalfane's group arrived at the shattered gate, and magic rained in to strengthen the attack, fire and lightning blasting over the joined combatants and stretching back to the house, melting Devere fodder and more than a few of the Doerden slave warriors as well. Soon after, Dinan grinned again when he saw light shining from the narrow windows of the higher chambers. Zacnaphane had penetrated those rooms, he knew, using light bombs to confuse his enemies. "Ah, the beauty," Dinan whispered, and now he heard his voice, for he was out of the silence. He waved his drow warriors on, and together they charged into House Devere. Sometime later, his blade dripping with Devere blood, half his brigade wounded or dead, Dinan came upon his brother in a lower hall of one of the lesser stalagmite pillars of House Devere. "It's near its end," he told Nalfane. "Risen is winning through to the top, and it is believed that Zacnaphane's dark work has been completed." Appearing so animated that he seemed silly to Dinan, Nalfane nodded and replied, "2 score of House Devere's soldiers have already turned allegiance to us. They see the end. One house serves them as well as another. And in the eyes of commoners, no house is worth dying for. Our task will soon be finished." Dinan noted the movements about him and his brother. Few soldiers were in the area, all pressing to other levels and corridors. He focused on Nalfane, looking for any signs that his brother was about to begin a treacherous spell. "Too quickly for anyone to take note," Nalfane said, and Dinan found irony in that. "Now, Doerden, Dermon and Eshesbernon is the 9th house of Menzo Berenzon, and Devere be damned. Look out!" Dinan cried suddenly, peering over Nalfane's shoulder. Nalfane spun at the expected threat, and Dinan struck, and struck true, his fine sword slipping through Nalfane's spine. "Too quickly for anyone to take note," whispered Dinan, "the new elder boy of House Doerden." "Name the child," High Priestess Breeza demanded, her fingers rolling on the hilt of the ceremonial dagger, its tip hovering above the chest of the newborn, her half-brother, who had been laying on the back of a spider idol. "Drist," the exhausted matron mother answered. "The child's name is Drist." Breeza began her sacred chant, formally naming the babe before giving it to Lolth, but neither Maya, the youngest of the Doerden daughters, nor Virna heard her, both reaching out to connect with their brothers. Nalfane and Dinan must know the child's name before it was sacrificed, that the whole of the family could partake in the great gift of the Spider Queen. "Drist," Virna heard Dinan respond to her magical message, and she felt a strong emotive surge from him, surprisingly so. Maya heard nothing from Nalfane, and knew that her magical message had not reached him. Their preparations had been careful and exquisite, the bonding tight between them, but yet, nothing. There could be only one explanation for that. "Wait," Maya yelled, drawing horrified looks from both Breeza and Malice. "Nalfane is dead. The baby is no longer the 3rd living son." As a discussion commenced between Maya and Breeza, who still seemed eager to kill the newborn, Virna barely heard it, her focus locked on Maya, her thoughts still on Dinan's strange reaction. Perhaps Nalfane had been killed by a Devere, but Virna had her doubts. "Stay your hand," Matron Malice commanded, ending the argument between Maya and Breeza. "Lolth is content. Our victory is won. Welcome, then, your brother, the newest member of House Doerden." "My full brother," Virna thought, but certainly did not say. In truth, she wasn't even sure that Zacnaphane was her father. She had heard many rumors, but had never received any confirmation. Still, she was grinning now, anxious to see her new brother Drizzt grow.